Well, I've made a commitment. I hate to say it out loud, but I've made a commitment, and saying it out loud helps me, and it is I'm going to run in the Music City Marathon. Now, the half marathon, so don't get too excited. You can walk that, you know, from a couch almost. Still 13 miles, and it's still pretty intimidating for someone like me. Paula and I are going to do it together. She's done it several years. I've only done once. My middle daughter, Lindsay, who many of you know, is a runner, has been a marathoner for a very long time. 11-mile run for her is, you know, just preparation for oatmeal. But for me, it's, you know, preparation for heart surgery. But I am going through the process of getting ready. I don't make the same mistake. First race I ever run was in high school. It was in college. And I honestly, you know, I didn't train. I just thought, you know, I'm young. I'm ready to go. I showed up. I trained a little bit. But, you know, training's tough. I mean, you know, there are people in this room who don't know 8 o'clock comes twice in one day. And when you're training for something and you're working and you got a job, you got to do it, you know, early in the morning. That sucks. Right? I mean, anybody who gets up happy is going to hell. There's no question. That cannot be right. Right? And so, you know, I got up, you know, and I tried to run, and, you know, my legs would fall asleep. And they talked to each other, and they'd say, you get out of bed first. And the floor is always cold, right? And so it was tough. I trained a little bit, but I'm really training hard for this one. And it's amazing at my age, I'm an older guy, that my body is still responding in the ways it did. When I put demands on it, when I stress my body in certain ways, it gets stronger. And that's what we want to talk about this morning, is turning stress into strength. We ask God, you know, that, you know, for, you know, take away this problem, take away this concern. God, I'm under all this stress. Have you ever thought that maybe He's put you under this stress to make you stronger, not weaker? Dave Dravecki, some of you may know that name. He was a professional baseball player and had cancer and had treatment, had to go through surgery, came back. And on his second game in his comeback, his arm broke in the act of throwing. And he had to have his arm and his shoulder amputated. And through this process, Dravecki came to Christ. And one of the things he said is as he went through this process, that so many Christians told him that if he prayed and had faith, God would heal him. And he said, I've learned over the years that American Christianity is the only kind of world Christianity that asks God to remove the burden from our back. And the rest of the world, Christians pray for stronger backs. And what I want to do this morning is pray for stronger backs, not pray for better times. We are in the world we are in, and we're going to be in it the rest of our lives. And this is the world that God has prepared us for. It is stressful. If you don't want any stress, I can guarantee you that you can go today to any cemetery in Nashville and just sit there. You will be in a stress-free environment. But these people are dead. My job is not to warn you that one day you are going to die, but to remind you that you're not dead yet. Just look at the person next to you and say, I know you look like it, but you ain't dead yet. Wake up. We're in a race. Listen to what the scriptures say. Paul says, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Here is the problem with most of American Christianity. It is about getting saved and going to heaven when you die and missing hell. But if that's all Christianity is about, it is cruel that God would save us, prepare us for eternity, whatever that looks like, and then leave us here in this place. This is a world, you do know this, tell me you know this, this is a world that is hopelessly broken. It's not going to make it into eternity. It is going to be renovated. It's going to be changed. It's going to disappear and be made new. The great apostle John said in the book of Revelation, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Eternity is going to be absolutely marvelous, but I have never preached a sermon on heaven. I don't suspect I will. You know why? Because I've never been there. You mean to preach a sermon about the Music City Miracle and how the Titans won a game they should have lost? I can do that. I was there. I'm an eyewitness. I've never been to heaven. Hope to go one day. Sure, I'm going to be there one day. But right now, this world looks pretty sweet. Really. With all of its stuff, I still want to stay. How about you? Because I have a race. I have something to do. Listen to this. I press. Is that a word that denotes stress to you? It isn't I saunter, I sashay, I get up and lean over, I hit the clicker, I press toward the what? There's a goal. There's something to be achieved. To do what? Win. We want to be winners. I used to say, well, this is Christianity is just about being successful. Duh. Do you want to be a loser? I press toward the goal to win the prize for which Christ has called me heavenward. Here's one of the confusions that I think a lot of people have about Jesus and Christianity. Is we talk about, we say, you know, there's nothing you can get God to love you more than He does, and nothing you can do to get God to love you less. And He just loves us all the same, and He just treats us all the same, and all the rest of that. So let me respond to that by saying two things. One, you cannot earn the love of God. There's no question about that. But you must earn your own. The number one problem with Christians, and I've been a professional Christian all of my life, so you might ought to listen to what I have to say, is self-loathing. Most Christians love Jesus, but they hate each other and hate themselves. Christians are the most cantankerous, disagreeable group of people on the planet. Would you hear an amen? We find something to disagree about everything. We can say the sky is blue, but we'd say, well, only from a certain point of view. And I would say, shut up. Shut up. That's what I would say. Here's the second thing that I want you to understand. When we get to heaven, there will be a test. You will stand accountable for your life. Heaven is not going to be the same for all of us, and I can prove it. Listen to this. In a race, everyone runs, but only one gets the first prize. So run your race to win, not with the pleasure of competition. Win. To win the contest, you must what? Here's a dirty word. That's a four-letter word, is it not? Deny yourself many things that would keep you from doing your best. Are all those bad things? No. Are all those sinful things? No. Are all those things that Jesus says don't touch, don't taste, don't smell? No. But you know what they require? Judgment and choice. Oh my God. Really? Christianity isn't about a long list of things I don't do and do and I want someone to tell me. No. You must deny yourself many things that would keep you from doing your best. An athlete goes to all of this trouble just to win a what? A blue ribbon or a silver cup. But we do it for a heavenly what? Reward that never disappears. Listen, some of you are going to make it to heaven, but you're going to live in a cabin with no running water, with a toilet out back. You're going to be, have you ever heard the song? You probably haven't. This is an old Kentucky spiritual. Lord, just give me a cabin in the corner of glory land. Belched up out of a pit of hell. Yeah. I don't know where you're going to live in heaven. I'm going to be on Main Street. I'm going to be on Bling Bling Boulevard. Wherever the big dogs are, I'm going to try to get there and be there. I want to stand before my Savior and hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We have been reading your Twitters. We're glad you're home. are going to be rewards in heaven. So I went straight to the goal with purpose. What? In every step, with purpose in every step. There's a purpose in cancer. There's a purpose in being laid off. There's a purpose in a broken relationship. God has a purpose in every step, in every moment, in every stressful situation. And that stress can be a part of what helps us win the prize and achieve the goal. Right? So Christianity isn't just floating on a cloud, waiting to die, just commenting on how bad the world is. See, there, I told you so. It's getting in the game, isn't it? So let me ask you this question. Have you defined what the win is? I fight to win. I'm not just shadow boxing. Like an athlete, I punish my body, treating it how? Roughly. Training it to do what it should, not what it wants to do. Training it to do what it should. So if you just go with the flow, you're going to flow downhill. And your body is amazing. Even my body at my age, I'm amazed at how it's responding to the demands I made. Seven days ago, I had my first day that I can actually run an hour without stopping. That's a big deal for me. Not a big deal for some of you, but that's a big deal for me. I'm amazed. And now that I can get to that hour, I'm even more motivated to work out every day because I don't want to go back. Because I know what it's like to be able to run from here to the mailbox and think you're going to die. Right? Do anybody know that? You know what I'm talking about? It's like my mother used to say to me, you cannot go swimming until you learn how to swim. I get a headache every time I think of that. I would run if it wasn't out of shape. Listen, every person who can run a marathon one day couldn't. I know this is really amazing. Are you writing this down? Get the CD, do something, you know. God, this is amazing stuff. Everybody who won a marathon one day couldn't. How do you get there? You train. How do you take stress? Stress is not an option, is it? But strength is. So which will you do? Will you just go through life as a long string or succession of meaningless days and hurts and disappointments? Or will you understand that you have a race, you are fitted for that race, you are gifted for that race, it is a race unlike anyone else's race, it is a particular race, God knows exactly what you can do, what you're capable of, but what He can't do for you is get your butt out of bed and on to the track. Here's the deal. God told me to tell you this, so you just take it for what it's worth. He can't answer some of your prayers because you still sit on the couch waiting for God to do for you what only you can do for yourself. That's not spirituality. That's magic. And God's not into magic. I'm waiting for God to show up. Well, get up and go out and meet Him. Get your shoes on. Get into the race. Stop whining and complaining about how hard you have it. Everyone has had their difficulties. Everyone has had their adversities. Can I hear an amen? Everyone has had unfair things done to them. And here's a news flash. It's going to happen again. Well, I get betrayed and I get hurt every time I try anything. Well, join the human race. But here are two statements you need to take to heart. You'll either, one, be remembered by what it took to make you quit because you were weak. Or you will be remembered by what you prevailed and persevered in the light of or against because you were strong. And guess which one we celebrate? And guess which one looks like Jesus' spirituality? Anyone can quit, right? anyone can get married and wake up and realize you married a jerk whose name is Jerry or James or Jim or Jenny or Jedediah. Right? I mean, have you ever taken a job and you said, oh my God, I'm in the wrong place. Right? I mean, life has to be done from where you are. Right? Right? I have a little application on my iPhone called Anywhere. And when I fire it up, and also my movie application is this way too. When I fire it up, it sends me a little message. You know, this application would like to request, you know, wants to know where you are. Is that okay? And when I press okay, it finds me GPS-wise where I am. So if you were to press a button on your own life application, it were to say, where are you? And you gave it permission to honestly find out where you are. I mean, how many of you know you can't go to where you want to go until you understand where you are? Right? This next weekend will be NFL draft time, and everything this week is now, you know, they've gone to the combines and they're training and they're doing all these things and they're measuring and they're testing. Then they will be drafted in order that they've tested. But who wants to be tested? Who wants to get on the scales and realize, oh my gosh, I've gained 30 pounds? No one. Under any circumstance. But it's the smart people, the strong people who understand that you can't change your future until you acknowledge your present reality. Right? I just don't want to know how much debt I'm in. What does it matter? It won't change a thing. Except help you understand what you've got to do to get out and to where you want to be. Right? A lot of people say, I want to change, I just don't know how. Well, let me give you a formula for change. Personal change. It's called STP. Now, I was introduced to STP when I was a kid. I was on a racing team. We had two cars. These were drag racing teams. And I was a gopher. Anybody know what a gopher is? You go for this and you go for that. But it was a learning experience that I will always cherish. And one of my jobs is when we would build the engines and then we build the spare engines, one of my jobs was to take the parts and bathe them in a thing called STP. It's like oil meets honey. Anybody here like honey? I love honey. I hate eating honey. Seriously, you could glue honey on the end of a 10-foot pole. Step back, put it into your coffee, and you'll get it on your hands, your arms, your legs, your socks. Everything in your closet will have honey on it. It's just like that stuff that just kind of expands in the atmosphere. This is what STP is like. It's like honey. It just gets everywhere, and it's sticky. And when you put those parts together, those metal parts, think of this. I have my truck right now, over 71,000 miles on it. I'm amazed that metal on metal can run that long, that fast, that hot, and still be in working order. It's the oil that lubricates it, that allows it. If that oil ever allows metal to touch metal, it's over. And our lives are a lot that way. Some of you right now are just running metal on metal. Your life is just one big friction-producing endeavor. Your relationships produce friction. Your prayer life produces friction. You are out of alignment, and you wonder why your faith doesn't matter, and people don't like you. You're out of alignment, right? You're living metal on metal. And what you got to do is you got to back up and get in alignment. I'm pretty proud of this. We're going to see how far it goes. Like I said, on my truck, I go over 71,600 miles. I have, believe this or not, the original tires. I'm impressed. You obviously are not. I am. I mean, I used to own Chevrolets where you change tires every 16,700 miles. just like a Mercedes, right? They wear out constantly. I've never had a car, any vehicle, where my tires have lasted this long. But I need to tell you this, is that I have, every time I've taken in to be serviced, when they say, you need to align and balance your tires, you know what I've said? No. This is what I've said. Is that extra? And what do they say? Yes. And then I say, how much does it cost? And then they say, how much it costs? And then I say, okay. Because I don't want to pay the price. Do you? I have never paid for balancing and aligning my tires that I didn't grieve a little. You know why? Because it gives me no obvious and immediate benefit. The truck doesn't look better. It does drive a little better. I will have to confess that. But not that much. Can I do it at home? I have 3 daughters. Could they do it? I'm a dog. What about that? I mean, anyway, is it really, it costs that much? Okay. But guess what? I'm pretty happy right now because I got 71,600 miles on my original tires. So here's the point. Sometimes you pay the price up front. It's like Fram filters. Pay me now, pay me later. Obviously, none of you watch that either. Okay, let me see if I can take something else. The branding statement of STP, for those of you who are non-automotive, is STP, anybody shout it out, anybody knows it? The Racer's Edge, right. The Racer's Edge. So there is an STP for life. The S is self-discipline. Self-discipline is a good thing because it is done by self. Here's the deal. You heard it here first. Life will discipline you, either hard or easy. I've told my children, I'm going to discipline you when you're with children. I would discipline you as you're, you know, there'll be things you'll get disciplined, and it'll hurt and you won't like it. But I'm going to discipline you out of love. If I don't discipline you, life will discipline you out of fear. We lock people up because we're afraid of them, right? We don't want them to hurt us. That's discipline. So discipline can be a good thing if it comes from the self. Listen to what Paul said. In every race, everyone runs, but not everyone gets the prize. So run your race to win. To win the contest, you must deny yourself what? Many things. Are they bad things? Well, let's go back, look at the back of your outline and let's read this. This is out of 1 Corinthians 6:12. Paul says, this is the same guy, same missionary, same radical. By the way, this guy was a murderer converted. You talk about a renegade. This is what he says. I can do anything I want to if Christ has not said no. You ever notice that there are only 10 commandments, not 7,000? Right? They're not 35 commandments. They're not 67 commandments. Only? Not that big a deal. Really? Okay. He says, I don't do anything when Christ is not said to. For some of these things aren't what? They're just not good for me. Hey, somebody, can you smoke and go to heaven? Yes, you'll go there before the rest of us. Can I just say something about smoking? For the smoking Nazis among us. I started smoking when I was 11 years old. Now, I'm from Kentucky. I know that sounds terrible at this moment, but, you got to put it in context. Everyone smoked at 11 years old. Well, a lot of people smoking at 11 years. My father raised tobacco. Everyone raised tobacco. Our town was, our church would have not survived if it hadn't been for tobacco. You understand? Now, I quit smoking cigarettes when I was 18. When I came to Christ, I quit. And then no one said, if someone had said to me, stop smoking now that you're a Christian, I would have said, oh, really? Okay, no problem. I'll put you, stop smoking not because I'm a Christian. Great, okay. You know what? You know the best way to stop a bad habit is want to. I know this is hard stuff to fit in your brain, so just think about it. Let that just simmer a little bit on your brain, right? What is Paul saying? Paul is saying, you know, there are things that I don't do because they're not good for me. I refuse to let anything, he says, get a grip on me. If I can't stop it because I want to, I don't do it. Are you with me? Drink wine, you go to hell, right? Jesus, I know the Bible says Jesus turned water into wine, but that wasn't really wine. The Greek word is Kool-Aid. Well, no, he did, didn't he? He turned water into wine, which was his first miracle. And it wasn't just wine, it was great wine. It was probably champagne. And so here's what we do as Christians. We say, because we have no self-discipline, let's don't ever do anything that might lead to an addiction. So we live in an addictive culture where everything you do will make someone else stumble because they're addicted by it. There are people who are addicted to Cocoa Puffs. I'm sure of it. I know there are people who are addicted to Ho-Hos. Are you with me? What should you or should you not do? You should not do anything your Savior prohibits. Right? You know what we think he prohibits is smoking and chewing and running with the women who do, right? No, this is what he prohibits: gossip, backbiting, anger, slander. Need I go on? No, too convicting. All right, self-discipline says there are some things that you can do, I can't do. Amen? What's wrong with that? Nothing. You know what that makes you? Smart. You know what that also is a sign of? Maturity. That there are things you just choose not to do. Things that you choose not to eat. Places you just choose not to go. Not because you're afraid to go to hell from there. But you exercise a certain amount of self-discipline. Thank you. Amen? You know, this is my opinion. I don't think the world needs any more fat preachers. Just my opinion. Just my thing. That's my thing. That's not your thing. I'm not saying it should be your thing. But I'm just saying, I just don't think the world needs any more fat preachers telling us about how to discipline ourselves. Just an idea. See, of all the places, the most important things to bring self-discipline, it seems to me, and again, this is just my perspective, and maybe it won't work for you, but it seems to me, for me, there are three areas I've got to really focus on. One is I have to learn how to master my moods. I am a freaking moody person. And I don't like it about myself. I work on it. I care about it. The people closest to me sometimes pay the price for that. But I'm working on it. I want to discipline it. It is not acceptable. Are you with me? I can't see you. I can only hear you. So you're going to have to talk back. Okay, so, you know, it is not acceptable for me to go out in public and have a frown on my face like I'm mad. Just because I'm thinking, just because my mood, my personality tends to be introverted, and I tend to think and be inside myself, and I could say, well, you know what, that's just the way it is, and you have to live with it. No. That is not the way it ought to be. Amen? It ought to be different from that. I ought to be a joyful, happy person in the way I express my moods, because I am a happy person. Are you with me? I'm sure none of you are moody. None of you have those problems, right? I must secondly master my words. Because I'm a wordsmith, because I deal in words, I make a living with words, of putting words together and ideas together, I have to be very careful that I don't use my words in order to hurt other people. Are you with me? I can't say what comes to my mind. I have to have an inner dialogue. Right? Have you ever been around? I was around someone the other day that I don't want to be around. Are you with me? I can't stand this person. Does that make me, you know, normal? But you know, I said, I went up to him, I smiled, how you doing? It's good to see you. God bless you. I'm so proud of you. I hate your guts. And this Jesus loves you and I love you in the world. Look at this person here. Meet all these people over here. Jackass. I love this person. This is so great. Thank you, Jesus. I just love you. And I love you so much. I just, Facebook me. Hey, come on, get on, be my Twitter buddy. I just love you. I hate your guts. Hope your dog dies. Right? Somebody's like, oh, the dog part, just threw it over the edge. Yeah, I agree. I just don't hope nobody's dog dies. I'm a dog guy, so I get that. See, you know what? How many of you know sometimes you just feel the way you feel? And you can work on it, you can get better, and you will. You get stronger, you get past it. But sometimes you're in a moment, you didn't plan for it. If you haven't determined already, there are certain things I'm not going to say. I'll have an inner dialogue. I'm not going to say everything I feel as I feel it. Can I hear an amen? That's called being mature. I got to master my moves, master my words. I've got to master my time. Because my time is my life. I do not mow my yard, and I can afford to pay someone to mow it. It is not a good investment of my time. It may be for you. You with me? So we all make 1,000 little choices that help us discipline and get the most out of our one and only, never to be repeated, can't do it over life. Are you with me? The second, the T is training. I will be trained. When I show up on, is it April 26th? Okay. I know I got it mixed up. I will show up as trained as I possibly can be. Not like the last time when I showed up because the rest of my family was running and I just felt, you know, well, I need to do this to participate and about died. I mean, there are people, I did not know, this was my first marathon, it was about 3 or 4 years ago. I just didn't realize that big old overweight people show up to run these things. I didn't know, I thought it would just be gaunt, lean, you know, runner type. You know what I'm talking about? These kind of people you see, you hate them, but you see them. You know, they have like zero body fat. You know what I'm talking about? I didn't realize that everybody in every condition shows up. People show up with cupcakes. Seriously. They run their race pouring tea. I didn't know. There are 6 guys there from Fort Campbell who were there running in full pack. And they went by me. You know what they had in their backpacks? Rocks. Rocks. I wanted to say something to them, but I was afraid they would kill me. They were going, I mean, it looked like, boy, like a hair trigger. You know what I'm saying? 1 foot, I mean, it was intimidating. Training. I will be trained. Here's the deal. The will to win must be accompanied by the will to prepare to win. Do you know what? It's draft week next week. You know what the veterans football players are doing right now? Maybe you don't know this. I have a little insight and I'll just share it with you. They're all down in Hawaii eating ho-hos and laying on the beach. Seriously. And eating pork and gravy and biscuits. It's great. That's what they're doing. They do that. I mean, when the season's over, they do that. I mean, or something like it. Do you believe that? No. You know what they're doing? They're training every day. They're at the task every day. Think of this. A world-class sprinter sprints for what? 9 seconds, 10 seconds. He trains hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours, right? Are you with me? Michael Phelps, at the last Olympics, I don't know if you know this, won 673 gold medals. He trained for 759,000 hours. He screwed up his reputation in 30 seconds. He did something stupid that any one of us in this room could have done. And if you don't, I would never have done that, please do not come back here. Because you intimidate the rest of us. No perfect people allowed. Can they hear an amen? Amen. Yeah, no perfect people. I mean, it takes only one stupid thing to screw up what you have spent a lifetime trying to build. Amen? That's called training. It's disciplining yourself in the small things. It's getting up in the small, wee, uncelebrated hours. Greatness is not on the playing field. It is on the practice field. Greatness is not at the Opry House. It is in the practice room. Does everyone know this? And you may not have a job and you may not have any money, but you can train. You can be trained for what's ahead. You can be trained for the next opportunity. And I believe that God loves giving great, big, scary, wonderful opportunities to people who are trained for it. If you're waiting for God to give you a handout, you're going to be waiting till a half an hour after hell freezes over. And that's going to be a very long time. Right? Training, training, training. Telling my body, I run straight to the goal, he says, with purpose in every step. I tell my body to do what it ought to do, not what it wants to do. And the last one is perseverance. Perseverance. You persevere toward the goal. I love this. Since we have such a huge crowd of men of faith, watching us, men and women watching us from the grandstands, let us strip aside everything that slows us down or holds us back, and especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around our feet, trip us up, and let us run with patience the blank race that God has set before us. What kind of race? A particular race. A race for which you were created. I'll close with this. At the end of that first race, I forgot how long is a 10K? That's what it was. Is it like 6 miles? Is that right? Okay. It could have been 60 miles to me. It was most miserable. It was hot. It was downtown. And it were hills. Now, what kind of idiot doesn't understand that if you want to race in Nashville, Tennessee, there will be hills? You know what I trained on? A flat track around the high school. I know, this is the way the whole race will be, just like this. Isn't this how we want it to be? It's a flat track. It's not going to be any problems. I'm a Christian. I love God. I pay my tithes. I'm a nice person. You know what? God never said there would be hills. Yes, He did. You just weren't listening. You were on drugs or something. You weren't listening. In this world, there will be trouble. You know who said that? Not Mahatma Gandhi. Jesus. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So I'm going through this race. I'm about to die. You know one of the reasons? You know the most dumb things I did? When we started, I won't do this next month. But when you fill out the race thing, it says, how fast do you expect to run this race? And then the second question was, how much do you weigh? I'm like, it's none of your blankety blank business. But I lied about how fast I was running away. I'm thinking, well, who will know? Well, what I didn't know, and most of you already know by the sound of your voice, that you start on the basis of your pace time and how fast you can run the race. I'm figuring, who cares? Well, everyone around me that I got in their way. So I was standing there, and all these gaunt-looking Africans, you know, people on the Serengeti plain show up. You know, like magazine advertisements for New Balance. I'm like, oh my gosh. Do I look out of place? Can we say pudgy white boy? Yes, we can. So when the race starts, and guess what I do? I try to keep up with them. Can we say, stupid white boy? Yes, we can. And when I failed to realize, you know what? I kept up with them. Seriously, for 50 feet, I was up right with them. And And here's what I paid. You know what I paid? You know, it was embarrassing. It was in people's way. A lot of, you know what I paid for it? I paid for it toward the end of the race. Like an idiot. I didn't know. I'm about to die. But have you ever committed to something? You literally said, I will die before I quit. Have you ever done that? You're just like, I am not quitting. I will live with this the rest of my life if I quit. So I'm going down. And guess what? Metro had opened up the fire hydrants. And I'm like, oh, thank God. I'm running through these things every, you know, 300 or 400 yards, what seemed like 300 or 400 yards. But here's the thing I noticed. And it helped. Oh, my Lord, did it help. But what I noticed is none of the other people who looked like they knew what they were doing, except, you know, our, you know, those of us, you know, refugees from a couch were running through. But none of the other people are running through. And have you ever noticed that we're only really goofy people do stuff and smart looking people don't? You should ponder. And so I didn't think about it until I looked down and I noticed, did I wear pink socks to the race? No. And little red bubbles started coming up through my shoelaces. And that water had created friction. And it literally, my feet were like hamburger. They were bleeding out. My socks were red. My shoes were at that point pink. And two things happened, and it was coming around toward, and guess what? The finish line was uphill, thank you, Jesus. I come around, this is the truth, and I could tell you two things. I'll let you go. This is, if I were to tell the name of these two people, many of you would know them. Seriously, they are like super famous gospel people. They're dead now, thank God, but they were super successful. I mean, they were both like 106 then. Or at least, they were seriously, they were in their 80s. Okay? I'm coming up, and I'm like, okay, you know, I'm about to die, but I'm so, okay. And just before the finish, there's a curve. And when I turned that curve, I heard the sweetest voice in the whole world. My wife. And this is what I heard. Hey, baby, I see you looking good. Keep on coming. You're looking good. And you know what? Seriously, I can relive that moment. My whole body was infused with energy. Seriously. Her voice and her words of encouragement. Listen to this. Let us keep our eyes on Jesus, our leader and instructor. He was willing to die a shameful death on the cross because of the what? Joy. He suffered the cross to redeem us because of the what? The joy. You are His joy. Say it with me. I am His joy. I am His joy. Me. I am His joy. Not my mama, not my brother, not my dog. Me. I am His joy. And He is leaning over the banisters of heaven, which may not be a great analogy, and saying, hey, I see you, baby. You're looking good. You're my joy. Keep on running. Keep on going. Come to me. Come to me. And when I heard her and I hear Him saying, keep on running. I know it's uphill. Keep on going. Keep on going. You are my joy. You are my joy. I want to get up and hit something. Right? Hopefully not a person, but you know what I'm saying. Do you feel His joy? You won't feel His joy. You've been a lazy person just whining and moaning and praying for magic. But you do hear His joy when you say, you know what? My body says, get on the couch. But my heart says, get in the race. Amen? My brain says there's nothing to do, but my heart says there's something to learn. There's some training to be done. Because something's coming over the horizon that's going to blow me away, and I want to be ready for it. And you hear His joy. And I heard her voice, come on, baby, I see you. You're looking good. And the second thing that happened is these two old, sweet people who I doubt made it to heaven Seriously, there's no hair in the story. They came up beside me and passed me. All right, I'm in my 20s, okay? I'm in my 20s. And I said, and I remember this as much as I, I will die before these old farts beat me. That's what I thought in my head. And that was before my Christian, before I was mature like I am now. So I remember the night here, Polly, I see you, baby. Keep on, you're looking good. And I started running, and they were separated, and I said, I'm gonna go right between them. So just give you, kind of a Christian nudge. It's the truth. I went between them, and they saw me coming. No hair in the story. She stuck out her foot to trip me. And then he gave me a whoop. Two Christian gospel singers. Near death. They must have believed in eternal security because they that was a deed that could send them down. But you know what I realized? Well, nothing going to stop me from coming across that finish line with laying it all on the table. Now, here's what I believe. I believe that you and I are the joy that Jesus finds in His everyday life. I believe He's rooting on us, and I think He loves us. I think He understands we're made of clay, and all He's asking is, you know what? You don't even have to beat those two old people. Just run your race. And the further you get down the race, you'll hear my voice. Come on, baby, you're looking good. I love you. I'm proud of you. I died on a cross for you. I came up out of a grave for you. I ascended on high for you. I'm reigning in the world for you. You are the light of the world and the salt that they need. Keep on that race, because I'll be with you and I will bless you. And when it's over with and you stand before me and hear my voice, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It will all be worth it. Father, I pray right now for your blessing. I pray, Father, that you will now begin to change lives and hearts and minds in this room and around the country, those listening and watching right now. I pray that the Spirit of God and the Word of God will lift us up to where we ought to be. I pray for some men who will get up and get their shoes back on and get back in the race. I pray for some women who have just allowed their own lives to be compromised and sold for someone else's approval, will straighten up and understand their worth and come back to you and say, God being my helper, there are some things I won't do. There are some places I won't go. I will raise the standard and I will run my race and I will not compromise. I will not let anything that weighs me down or disqualifies me to be entertained in my mind or my life. There are some things I'm going to stop today. There are some things I'm going to get out of today. There is a new life for me and I'm ready for it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you.